him to do that late, he's getting a little frustrated. And so is Canales. And I don't blame them.
Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. The great folks at Bill Curry Ford, family owned. They present all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Head to BillCurryFord.com right now to start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. Order your new vehicle. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, will give you $500 just to do it. No deposit. BillCurryFord.com. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman. And everything Ira at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Sage, you are just a man ready to meet the people on Sunday at Big Storm Ybor City upstairs, Centro Ybor. Great time ahead. Specials are at JoeBucksFan.com, or you can go to BigStormBrewery.com and see the whole menu. The beers will be flowing, the spirits, the Bloody Marys, the specials, the shots, the good times, and the Bucks and the Saints. You can't beat that. How are you, Ira? What do you think?
Stevie, I'm tilting a little bit towards a mimosa maybe on Sunday. You know, hour before the game, start with a nice mimosa, nicely into a beer maybe in the second quarter. And I want to send a message to our listeners and our readers and people that are thinking of coming out to join us for what should be a festive occasion on Sunday. Steve, the way to lure me over to your table to say hello, shake some hands, give you a high five, it's very simple, Steve, and you know this better than anybody. Have some tater tots or some fries on your plate when you issue the invitation. You know me, Steve. I can't resist. I'll be over in two shakes of a cow's leg very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And you'll still visit it anyway, but it just maybe you'll go there first if you see some finger foods.
That's the priority, Steve. Yeah. That's the priority.
Yeah, absolutely. Finger foods always win with the sage, the human seagull himself. Big Storm Brewing Company, Ybor City, Tap Room, 1600 East 7th Avenue. You can't miss it. Big Storm, you can follow them on social media. And, of course, they've got all the games with the YouTube Sunday ticket package. And Sage, you know, we heard at the opening of the podcast before I introduced you about Bill Curry Ford. Can't say enough about them. Great time to shop. End of the month is here. Sean Sullivan has got that Ira Kaufman discount at all times. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. The inventory is fantastic right now. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. C-U-R-R. I.E. Sage, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We will talk about them later, but everybody has to go to Florida'sElitereStoration.com at least once so they know who to call and understand why when they have that disaster at their home or their property. Ira, I realized listening to last podcast, it was one of the few podcasts I didn't say who I am. And of course, we roll into the podcast and you're like, Steve, Lee, Steve. And I didn't introduce us. So I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is year 8 of this podcast. Hard to believe, but year 8 of this podcast. Lee DeCamper is here, JoeBucksFan.com as well. And Lee, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. And because I'm heading to New Orleans, I get to see the Bucks and the Saints. Hopefully the Bucks win, of course. And I've got the gumbo shop on the top of my to-do list.
Any jazz, Lee? There's a lot of jazz clubs in the Crescent City.
Nah, you know, I'm too old for Bourbon Street, unfortunately. There's a bar that plays Van Halen with their live bands. It's right next to the gumbo shop. I'll hit that up at the gumbo shop, have a couple of bourbons, and I'll call the night. And Saturday I'm either, you know, banging away for Sunday on the keyboard, or I'm watching college football. So, unfortunately, I've reached that age. I gotta pace myself, Ira.
Be careful walking those streets, Lee. I'm hearing. No, I'm serious. They're having some major crime problems in New Orleans. So, be careful.
Yeah, I'm only going to one, maybe two bars at the most where I usually go. And outside of that, I'm Ubering it.
Ira will offer you Cosmo as protection if you want to bring him along. Yeah. So.
He's got a tremendous leap. He could leap right into somebody's throat, Lee, from a standing position.
I recall the story real quick about how Cosmo is dangerous for people. He extracts blood from people.
Well, he's okay with me and my wife for the most part. But my wife's on blood thinners, and so when she takes him out back to do his business, he gets excited, jumps up on her, and he's got nails, something that you and I, you know, we would barely see a scrape. All of a sudden, he's drawing blood, and it takes 2 hours to staunch the blood. So he's a little bit dangerous, and somebody else comes in, you know, a stranger, he's all over them. I guess we got to take him to obedience school. My wife wants to take me to obedience school. But we got to find a way to calm him down because he's a jumper, Steve, like I am. He's a jumper.
I can see Ira going to the bathroom, getting excited and jumping on people because he can go to the bathroom.
All right, Sage, look, big question entering this game here. And I know you've been up all night thinking about the Bucks and how they can pull this off. Do the Bucks have the jumpers in the secondary healthy to handle all of these Saints receivers, because there's a lot of them, a lot of weapons. Kamara's coming back. Taysom Hill has done a lot of things against the Bucks in the past, and they've got the three good receivers there. What are your feelings there right now as it sits here? Because we know Jamel Dean didn't practice yesterday. Carlton Davis, even though a glorified walkthrough on a Wednesday after a Monday night game, still questionable now. So what are we looking at here, Ira?
Well, I'm trying to put myself in Bowles' position as the coordinator. What's the best way to keep a handle on the Saints? And by the way, the Saints aren't lighting up the scoreboard. They're not. They scored 17 points against Green Bay last week. Did nothing in the fourth quarter. Lee, the way I look at it, you got to put Jameis / Carr, and I think it's going to be Winston, I would think. Because it's Carr's right shoulder, Lee. It's not his left shoulder. I watched this press conference. He's a tough guy. He doesn't like to miss games. And he's talking about that he still might, you know, be able to suit up there on Sunday and play the Bucks. Well, he's not practicing, Lee. I think it's unlikely. So I think it's going to be Winston. I think the pass rush is going to have to do its job, Lee. They got to get Winston jittery. They got to make him throw on the run, off balance, backpedaling. Lee, I think if he's got time to throw, he's going to be successful against Tampa Bay with that battered secondary. Michael Thomas is back. He's not fully back, but he's good enough right now to exploit the Bucks a little bit. And Olave's very, very good. I'm not that worried about Kamara, Lee. For whatever reason, the Bucks have done a very good job on him the last 2 or 3 years. He hasn't been that much of a factor, even when healthy. So my focus isn't on Kamara necessarily making his 2023 debut. But, Lee, the pass rush, which... you know, wasn't very good against the Eagles, mostly because they were so worried about the running game. I think that's got to be the critical factor. They need 3 or 4 sacks on Winston and a couple of picks. I think they can get it.
Well, I'm not scared about the Saints for a lot of reasons. One, I know everybody talks about picks with Jameis. I'm so burned out on that. But you know what the guy can also do besides throw picks? Move the ball. Always good. Now, the Jameis I saw with the Packers, it sure looked like that guy was handcuffed. Like Dennis Allen is scared to death of the guy. It's almost like he told Jameis, unless you got to save your life, you're not throwing the ball. That's what it looked like to me. Unlike you, I'm done with Michael Thomas. He's yesterday's news. Okay, he hurt the Bucks 10 years ago. He's done. The guy that scares me is Olave. Having said that, I think A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are better than Olave. AJ burned the Bucks. Devontae Smith did not. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Jameis handing the ball off. And the Saints' offensive line is not the Eagles' offensive line. Now, having said that, the Bucks must. There's no other way to say it. They must get more than 2 tackles combined from their outside linebackers. If they have that kind of production again, it's time to bench Joe Tryon. And by the way, Tryon is the guy who had both tackles. But at least Shaq has a resume. Joe Tryon doesn't. But if they get that kind of non-production from their outside linebackers, Todd Bowles has to seriously consider benching people. You can't be a playoff team if you only get 2 tackles, period, from your outside linebackers. That is fully unacceptable. You know, and this Taysom Hill, I have no idea why that guy collects a check. He's brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. He's a whip-bone quarterback, and frankly, Justin Fields is light years better than Taysom Hill. People don't like it? Tough. He is.
Steve, I don't think Dennis Allen, to Lee's point, I think he's right. I don't think Dennis Allen has much faith in Jameis Winston. Now, the Saints did bring him back And so Winston's back in a backup capacity. But based on what I saw last year, Steve, with Dalton struggling and the Saints, you know, within range of catching the Bucs in the NFC South after about 10 weeks, he stuck with Andy Dalton when the doctors cleared Winston that he was over his injuries. I remain stunned at that, Steve, that a healthy Winston couldn't beat out Andy Dalton in the eyes of Dennis Allen. And it ended up hurting the Saints. They finished 7-10 and struggled down the stretch. I don't think Allen's got much faith in Winston, Steve.
Dennis Allen's a typical meathead defensive coordinator.
It's hard to make that case, Ira. But they also have Rashid Shaheed, who's super quick as a receiver, and they'll put three receivers out there, and this guy can catch, and he's off to a decent start again. I think he's averaging career like 17 yards a catch. Hill, while he's a lousy quarterback, he's still dangerous. He still runs for 6 yards a carry on his career and can catch the ball. And I don't know if the Bucs have the horses on defense if the Saints are firing, but that's really the thing, is they haven't scored more than 20 points all year. I don't think they've allowed more than 20 points all year either. For me, the key to the game is the Bucs offense. They got to show that they can put together a complete game here against a defense that is good, but not crazy spectacular. Bottom line is they have got to get production, diverse production, and get a running game here if they're going to stay committed to it, which I'm sure they're going to. And Todd Bowles was a little more candid on his radio show, saying that previously he has said this in different ways, but he said that if Rashad White hits the holes, that they should be averaging 4 to 5 yards a carry. Todd Bowles believes the holes are there, and you know that they've got to find a way to do that, to get White to snap out of it. I have a little bit of faith, Ira, because in week one, he wasn't hitting the holes. He was dancing. Then I know they got in his ear. Week two, he was much better. Not great, but much better. Week three, he fell back. I sort of have a feeling he's going to hit the holes again, and they may get a little more production overall. It should help everything. But, man, I think they're going to have to score 21, 24 points here on offense. No Shaq Barrett pick six and pull this game out on offense.
Lee, am I crazy to suggest this is a very big game for Rashad White? A very big game. But with the bye week looming, and if the running game doesn't get going, and White doesn't, quote, hit the hole with authority, if he doesn't, and they lose, and now they got a two-game losing streak, and the bye week shows up, Lee, am I crazy to suggest that Light might be tempted to make a move and add a running back to the roster, any running back, just to give a spark? I think this is a big game for Rashad White.
Well, to answer your question, should Light make a move or will Light make a move? I don't know why he didn't make a move in April or May. So to answer your question, hell yeah.
The answer to that of April and May, Lee, was they were talking about Rashad White like he's, you know, Christian McCaffrey. And
well, I can talk about how I come home to bed to Kate Upton. Doesn't mean I mean, the evidence was all over the place that White wasn't the guy, and let's say you had conned yourself into believing he's the next Adrian Peterson. What else do you have? They didn't. I mean, I know Light is supportive of Sneak Vaughn. I get that. I don't disagree that, you know, maybe he should have run the ball more, but just the fact that they were the worst in the league, shouldn't that have motivated someone to go get a running back besides the guy with a heart condition? Or ran for 250 yards last, 247 yards to be exact.
Steve, here's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm off base here and reading it wrong, Steve, but in the off season, when they did their due diligence, and when you know, the 2022 season was over with the Dallas debacle, and they started, you know, with all the coaches coming in, Steve, and looking at the tape, breaking it down position by position, Steve, and when they looked at the league's worst running game, it seems to me that the conclusion across the board within the organization was, you can't blame White too much. There weren't too many holes. There weren't too many holes. I think that's the conclusion, Lee, because otherwise they didn't address the running back situation.
I'll take it a step further. I think they figured if they got a coach that was more focused on the run game than Byron Leftwich was, the clouds would part. That's what I think.
Well, but he doesn't do the blocking, Lee. He doesn't.
I think it's fair to say Lefkowitz was over his head last year. You bring a coach in that can coach up a run game, it's surprising what can happen. And I think they talked themselves into believing, well, we got zero results last year, but that can quickly change because we'll bring a guy in that can develop a run game and have an idea how to craft an offense, and things will be better. That's my read on it.
Sage, a couple of layers to it. They fired the running backs coach last year. So somebody made that call. Obviously, it was Todd Bowles because other coaches were kept. And so they bring in Skip Pete from the Cowboys with a good resume, and they think, you know, White showed flashes. He's got talent. He's going to have a run-focused coordinator. We're going to get him a running backs coach. We like him. He's good with the ball after he catches it. You know, a couple of tweaks here and there, he can be a solid runner. 4.1, 4.2 yards a carry guy and carry a running game. I don't think they looked for him to be a Pro Bowler, but the progress hasn't been made. And so this game, you asked if this is a big one for White. I'm going to go here, Ira. If the Bucs win this game and White does not play well, then they're sitting at 3-1 at the bye, knowing that they have a great chance to get to the playoffs and that their chances of getting there, if they have a good running back, will increase dramatically. I think if they go 3-1 and White doesn't go too well, they're going to have a meeting and decide, hey, do we want to chase Jonathan Taylor? Because by the time they get Taylor in here, 1/4 of the season is gone, and that means that's 1/4 of his salary you don't have to pay. And, you know, it seems like a destination where Indianapolis would be willing to trade him. And I think you have to really start to think about it.
That's a discussion worth having, Steve. Worth having. Lee, it's not like Jonathan Taylor's 29 years old. He's not. 2 years ago, he was the unquestioned, and I mean unquestioned, best runner in football. He had a fantastic 2021 season. I thought he was an MVP candidate going into December. He's all the Colts had, and boy, did they pound him away. Even last year, which was a disaster for the Colts and Taylor with injuries and stuff, he still averaged 4.5 yards a carry. Now, you know, the Colts have a good offensive line. Not great, but good. I think it's a discussion that's worth having. I don't think Steve's crazy here, and he looked at it as instead of the way I looked at it, with a 2-game losing streak, 2-2, you got to get things back together. He's looking at it with a win and 3-1, saying, wait a minute, this team might be able to do some damage. That's an interesting way to look at it too, Lee.
Yeah, I don't know if they can afford Taylor, because Taylor's going to want a raise, otherwise he won't stand up. So I don't know how that would work. I know the Bucs' philosophy, they don't want to overpay for a running back. I get that. That's shared by many NFL teams, including the Colts, apparently. On paper, I love it, but in practicality, I don't know if that would happen. I agree with Steve, you have to have that conversation, but I don't know if that conversation will lead to action or not. Now, maybe there's some other running backs. I mean, I don't know. Are the Broncos going to have a fire sale? Are the Bears going to have a fire? You know, even these lousy teams in the NFL, for the most part, get better production than the Bucs do from the running game.
Well, one of the running backs we've talked about for the last 5 years on this podcast, it looks like he's done. Dalvin Cook, it looks like he's shot.
Well, I haven't watched any Jets games, so I can't say. I know everybody's screaming about Wilson, but I don't see anybody writing that Cook is setting the world on fire. But it seems like he fell off the cliff pretty quick. I don't know, but
yeah.
I mean, there's got to be someone out there. I mean, I'm tired of talking about White. I've turned the page on him. I'm done with him. Until he demonstrates otherwise, he's a bust. I mean, 21 games is enough. You can only have one good game in 21. It's time to turn the page.
Steve, you got any confidence Mike Evans is going to show up in New Orleans and have a good game against Lattimore?
Yeah, he's had good games before there. He's also been thrown off his game there, and he's been locked down there. So it is a mix. It just stands out that he has been locked down before because it doesn't happen very often. But I think this just comes back to you can't count on – the game plan can't be for Mike Evans to have 8 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. That can't be the game plan. They got to find a way to get Godwin more involved. We talked about him losing that streak in the last podcast, and I haven't seen the deep shot to Godwin yet. I mean, he's out there as a playing wide as a receiver. Do they think he's not can't do it? Has it not been there? Have they missed some? I don't know. It's early in the season, Todd Bowles said, yeah, he's going to get his touches. The flow is going to, you know, it'll come back to Godwin. You know, you'll have days for Evans, days for Godwin, but they got to get production from the other guys, the Tompkins, the Palmers, the, they need Kate Otten to have four catches for 51 yards. They got to find ways to do it in this game. Otherwise they're just, it's going to be a field goal fest and they're going to be relying on turnovers. And I don't know if they have the horses with Devin White barely able to run, and backup cornerbacks and Shaq Barrett coming off an off day against the Eagles on short rest off the Achilles. Shaq may be without a little bit of juice this week. It scares me, Ira.
You know, I was thinking about Shaq Barrett, Lee. Boy, it would really help if he had a big game coming off that left edge.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, I know you don't want to hear about Rashad White. One more point, Lee. One more point. And you and I are in full agreement on this. Shouldn't they be using White more as a receiver? I mean,
well, that's the only way I would use, to be honest with you. He's good. He's out of the backfield. He really is. But last time I looked at the position, it's called running back, not receiving back.
I don't think they're using him enough as a target. Steve, he's got good hands and runs a good route and, you know, maybe a couple of screens and, you know, use him that way too, Steve.
Uh-oh. Ira's starting to get excited. We're talking about running backs catching the ball for a four-yard gain. That's right. I'm waiting for Ira to talk about Sims now.
Yeah, you could hear the joy in his voice when he said screen. A little excited there. Hey, Ira.
I got a little excited.
I'm jumping on women and scratching them now.
Hey, Sage, you asked me before about confidence. My confidence lies in Florida's Elite Restoration and telling all of our listeners that this is a trustworthy local company. Owner Josh Martin has so many years in the business, decades, and he is ready to fight for you when you have that disaster at your property or at your home. Flood damage, storm damage, mold, fire, whatever it is, call them 24/7. They'll give you a free evaluation at your property with top technology. Mention the Sage or Joe Bucks fan when you call. And if you end up using their service, then they will give you $500 back or $500 toward your deductible for moving forward. It's a great company. Check them out. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. We've talked about them many times. Now it's time to stop talking. Go to their website, see what they're all about, bookmark it. So when that disaster strikes, you know exactly who to call. Hey, Ira, I got a quick quiz for you. This is short, okay? I'm just going to give you the two options, and you're going to pick one with the understanding that this could change in real time in the moment. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Sunday, we know that you'll be at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City with fans, having a great time watching the Bucks and the Saints and other games. Here's your two options. Barbecued pulled pork tacos. Now, that's a flour tortilla with house-smoked pork over creamy coleslaw topped with fried onion tanglers, jalapenos, and
You can stop right there. I'll take that. You can stop.
I knew that.
I knew
that was a slam dunk for Ira. Tacos?
All right. I won't even go the other option.
Continue, Steve. Continue.
I'll just remind everybody that the Key Lime barbecue sauce comes on those pulled pork tacos. Everybody can check it out at bigstormbrewery.com. Nice few tacos in there with the chips. It's fantastic. All right. Look, Ira, I agree with you with the playing to Rashad White's strength. If he's going to be out there, I'd give him a couple more options in the passing game. But here's the problem, Ira. One, they don't want to throw those Tom Brady balls where the running back catches it 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. They don't want to do that. And they also just threw the ball to White and he coughed it up. And Todd Bowles, turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. White had three fumbles last year, and it's something that Bowles has mentioned, and he's fumbled again, and he coughed one up in the preseason, and this is the kind of stuff that lives in Bowles' head. I don't know how much they trust him at this point. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
It doesn't sound very promising for Rashad White right now, Ali. It just doesn't. Got a fumbling issue, and Steve's right. Bowles doesn't forget the accent more than ever, and it's always been there, but it's been accentuated this year. Minimize the giveaways, maximize the takeaways. Now, they did a great job the first 2 weeks, zero turnovers, and then White coughs up the ball, and it was an interception by Mayfield. And you're right, Bowles has a long memory. He remembers that. That's another reason, Lee, why I think the leash is getting short on Rashad White. I think Bowles, Lee, finally let his frustration show a little bit. And Steve's right. The first time he really talked about the technique and the vision of Rashad White. For him to do that late, he's getting a little frustrated. And so is Canales. And I don't blame them. He's got to show something in this New Orleans game, or I think he's ready to be replaced.
As much rope as they've given the guy, do you really believe they're going to yank him after the Saints game if he doesn't show up?
I think they're going to bring somebody in, or they should. Now, you've been saying it before the season even started. We want a little competition. If a guy's not getting the job done, we want a little competition. This will all seem moot, Steve. If the guy gets 14 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown and the Bucs win, we won't be talking about this during the bye week. But right now, it's consistently not coming up to standard. It's just not.
Absolutely. Hey, Sage, Logan Ryan before the season was on with Colin Coward talking about how he hasn't retired and that he's looking for the perfect spot. We assume that it might be the Bucs, you know, just like the Bucs were talking about Akeem Hicks as a possibility. Ryan, who's healthy now, you know, is looking for the perfect fit. He lives in Tampa. And then he was on with Kay Adams saying, hey, you know, there are two teams I'm interested in, and they're the Bucs and the Eagles. Given the injuries, do you think they're looking at him, or that they're going to go that route, or they're just going to try to wait as long as they can to make a decision that represents an all-in move?
He's probably one more injury away from being a Buccaneer. That's the way I would look at it. I don't think Bowles is down on Logan Ryan. The problem with Logan Ryan is he can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Lee, you know, you can't count on a guy. But if you bring him in, you know, after the bye week, again, if there's another injury, and right now, knock on wood, Winfield, and they're doing okay at the safety spot for the time being. But Logan Ryan, he made some plays last year, a few, but he can't stay healthy. So nobody else wants him right now, at least at the price that Logan Ryan wants to play for. We'll see. But I think Bowles likes this guy.
Logan Ryan said something very interesting, Ira. I want your feedback on this. Logan Ryan, you know, Kay Adams is like, hey, you know, you haven't retired yet. You still think about playing? And he said, yeah, the Bucs and the Eagles are the two teams I'm looking at and interested in. And he said about the Bucs, he goes, this year, Todd Bowles finally has his team, which seemed to indicate that a lot of things that were going on last year, I don't know if you want to make a stretch and say that Arians was calling the shots, but Logan Ryan basically said that it wasn't Todd Bowles' team last year. And this year, it's more designed. The team's more built, more designed, more crafted to be in Todd Bowles' mold than it was last year. What do you make of that?
I think he's stating the obvious, Lee, from the coaching staff to the roster. He's been much more assertive. Bowles handpicked his coordinator because those two are on the same wavelength, same general principles in terms of roster construction, worked hand-in-hand with Light. Was involved the whole offseason rather than coming in on March 31st. Big, big differences. Lee, I think we don't know not half, of what went on behind the scenes last year. It was a mess in retrospect.
Yeah.
It was a damn mess. It was a damn mess from Arian stepping down, when he stepped down, to the Tom Brady affair with everything that was involved with him, with the training camp and this and that. It was a mess. Somehow they stumbled to 8 wins. Somehow they stumbled to a division title, but it all came crashing down in that playoff game against Dallas. One day we're gonna write the story, Lee. If anybody writes it, it's gonna be Joe Bucs fan. We're gonna look back at 2022 and say this team was kind of doomed from the start. Now the title, it's tough to say you were doomed, but Lee, you go 8-9 with Tom Brady. There's plenty to write about.
Yeah. Now here's another one for you, and you're in the middle of this, so I just want your reaction to this, or what was your reaction? I put this out on social media during Bowles' press conference when I was with you at One Buck on Wednesday. And it's got a big reaction on social media. Not so much on Joe Bucs fan, but on social media, it got a reaction. You asked Todd Bowles, is there value in pounding the rock and not getting any production? And he said yes. And why don't you go ahead and explain the answer he gave you and what your take was on that?
Well, because Lee, as the weeks go by, and even going back to last year, but not so much last year because they threw the ball two-thirds of the time. And matter of fact, 2 years in a row, led the league in pass attempts. It worked well in 2021, and it worked terribly last year. So I did ask that question because, Lee, they're not getting rewarded. Canales / Bowles, they're not getting rewarded for this, you know, aim for offensive balance. It's not working, particularly on first down. Even Bowles said it after the game. We were terrible on first down, offensively, bad on first down, defensively. He pointed that out. And you would think he's talking about the running game on first down and the lack of production. He said, Lee, in terms of giving the defense a rest, in terms of trying to establish some physicality, making defenses a little bit off balance where they don't know that you're going to throw the ball, taking time off the clock, Lee, there are subtle advantages, you know, to running the ball 25, 30 times a game. Now, Lee, when you're running 30 times and getting 90 yards, it's hard to keep doing it. Lee, you're going to have to play great defense to get away with that. And for the most part, through the first 2 weeks, the Bucs did play great defense. Defense wasn't terrible Monday night, but not very good. Not very good. And it didn't work. So it didn't work, and you're down 25-3 in the fourth quarter. But he gave an expansive answer. And I think it's something that he and Canales keep talking about with Light, basically saying, we got to stick to our guns. We're not going to abandon this thing. Of course, we want more productivity. But, Lee, the days of throwing 52 passes, I think that's got to be over. And you mentioned it many times. That is not a winning formula for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, with Baker Mayfield, exactly. I don't think you want to do that. Now, Steve's quick to point out, and he's not wrong, that Mayfield the first couple weeks of the season was pushing 40. Didn't hit 40. He was getting there. Was it 34 or 35 attempts, Steve?
No, my point was at dropbacks. He dropped back to pass 80 times over the first 2 weeks. Now, he scrambled about 9 times. But they called passes, or maybe changed a player two or a few here and there, but they dropped back 80 times over the first 2 weeks and won.
Yeah, I would say the percentages that they want to do last year maybe was 66-67% throwing the ball, and it's been like that consistently during the three Brady years. I think 60 is a lot closer to what Bowles wants. 60-40, throw to run. 50-50 is ideal, Lee, but that's pie in the sky. That's pie in the sky. It's not going to happen, not with this running game. Now, Lee, when Mayfield led the Browns to an 11-5 record in 2020 and a playoff win, he only averaged 30 pass attempts per game. 30. I think that's a pretty good number for Mayfield. But right now, it's probably about 35.
Yeah, of course, I can hear a lot of people screaming, if you don't trust your quarterback, why did you sign him?
Trust is one thing. They signed him cheap for 1 year because they didn't know what to expect. Let's be honest, Steve. They didn't know what they were going to get out of Mayfield. They were hoping for the best. And so far, he's met or exceeded expectations, I think.
Oh, sure. No, he's done a good job, especially new offense, new play caller, new receivers, all that stuff. So one thing, though, Ira, just a little bit of a tiny bit of a history flashback. Raheem Morris, also a defensive head coach, and this comes back to the defensive coach mindset. Raheem came in 2009, and he flat out said publicly, we want to run 30 times a game. It doesn't matter what we get on the ground. We need those rushes because that's what is good for this team, the way it's constructed, and you need that balance to keep defenses off track. And they had three running backs. They had no team to speak of, but they had Ernest Graham, Cadillac Williams, and they signed the partier guy. I forgot his name. Derek Ward. Yeah, Derek Ward. And they were doing a three-headed monster at running back. Now, it didn't work for him, but I think it just goes to the defensive head coach mindset. And, the crazy thing is, though, is that Bowles is fully committed to it versus saying, hey, we got to get more creative if our run game isn't working. And that goes back to you throwing more to Rashad White and throwing shorter balls and getting other guys involved in different ways. I mean, they're not really running wide. Rashad White has caught 10 of 10. He's caught all of his targets. Career, he's got one of the best percentages in the history of the NFL in catching balls thrown his way after this 10 out of 10 this year. So I don't know, but they'll adjust as they go on. Todd Bowles said multiple times on Wednesday, Ira, that all these lessons that they're learning from Canales himself to young defensive players, that Bowles expects it to show up in midseason, and I'm going to hold him to that.
Yeah, I think there is a general feeling, Lee, in the building, a general feeling, and a feeling. And I heard somebody else talk about it yesterday, sort of like, we're building towards midseason. We think this will all gel in midseason. They expect to be right in the middle of the division mix. In midseason, maybe 5-3, something like that, and then take off from there in terms of the O-line gelling, all these guys playing together for the first time, nobody except Hainsey coming back at the same position they played last season. It takes time. It does. But, hey, if they win, people are going to be patient, Lee. If they're 3-5, the knives are going to come out.
I know some people, they get upset when they hear, oh, it's going to take time. Well, let's look back to the glory year of 2020. Arian smartly decides, well, you know, am I going to, you know, a lot of people, especially the Diana Rossinis of the world, were screaming, oh, you got to run the Belichick offense, because that's what Brady knows. And Arian thought, and again, this was a highly intelligent move, well, I have a full offense that knows my offense, and I have one of the smartest guys that ever played that doesn't know my offense. Let's get the smartest guy who ever played to learn my offense, because it will be quicker rather than changing an entire offense for 9 other guys. And Arian said, I remember I asked him the question. Arian said the last 3 quarters of the loss to Kansas City is when Brady fully understood the offense, when it finally clicked for him. And they were, you know, a runaway train after that. So when Bowles talks about learning the offense, not only are these guys, like you mentioned, Ira, many guys learning a new position outside of Evans and Godwin and Kate Otten and Rashad White, who you could argue hasn't learned anything yet. Not only guys on the offensive line are playing new positions, all of these guys are learning a brand new offense, not just one or two. All of them, it's all brand new. We've heard Evans talk about how he's running routes he never ran before. So all these guys are learning a brand new offense. And so if the smartest guy in the world, Brady, finally figured out Arian's offense after Thanksgiving, I think it's fair to say this offense will take to midseason before it does finally gel. Now, Brady didn't have an OTAs. He didn't have any worthless preseason games, didn't have any minicamps because of the virus. These guys did have an offseason.
Sage, you know what? I'm going to be unfair. I expected to be clicking Sunday. Tom Brady went out in week 4 that year and throwing O.J. Howard and all kinds of guys. They absolutely lit up the Chargers. I think it was like 400 yards at home, a late game, high scoring game. They got to adjust quickly. This is the NFL. I got no patience. Lee's right, but I got no patience. They got to start scoring points.
Well, it could start Sunday in the Big Easy. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely. As the pork is falling off your face at Big Storm. At Big Storm Brewery in Tampa. Hey, Sage, fans can shop all weekend long at Bill Curry Ford, mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, as we heard. Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's always got an ear for Bucks fans. You can reach out to him on the website, BillCurryFord.com, or give him a call. Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check them out. And the Sage will be in the house watching the game, as we've said, with Bucks fans Sunday, Ybor City, upstairs, Centro Ybor, Big Storm Brewery Tap Room. Check out the specials at joebucksfan.com. Ira, we're going to put your feet to the fire, and you get to pick, as always, who you want to pick first or what you want to hear. We got to make our picks on this critical rivalry game. So what do you want to? How do you want to start?
I think I picked the Bucks to win week 1. I certainly picked them to beat the Bears, and I picked the Eagles. So I'm on a hot streak. My fantasy team's not doing well, but I'm doing well in this. I'm going to go last today, gentlemen. I'm going to go third, and I will yield to you two.
Lee, what do you got?
An absolutely offensive explosion for a Todd Bowles team. I think the Bucks will score 24 points, and I think the defense will step up. I think they'll get more than 2 tackles from their outside linebackers. Jameis and New Orleans will get theirs, but it will not be enough. 24-17 Bucks.
Wow. All right. That's exciting. 17 points. You think the defense has it in him for 17 points, Ira? I don't know. I'm going to go with the Bucks as well for a couple of reasons. One, I've watched New Orleans, and they're just not very good, and I don't like their coach, and it's still a backup quarterback. You know, Jameis is going to put a lot of pressure on himself here because it's a big game potentially for his career. And if it is Derek Carr, you know, I'll bet against the guy with the bad shoulder. They haven't scored more than 20 points all year, and their field goal kicker choked in the last game, and our guy's hot as kicking field goals. So I'm going to go 27-21 Bucks, and I think the offense is going to have to carry him here, and the defense will do just enough to survive.
Boy, I thought at least one of you guys were going to pick the Saints. At least one of you.
They're not good enough. They're not good enough. That's why.
Well, I'm also going with the Bucs. I think it's going to be very tight. I think it'll be a little more defensive. I like 2017 Bucs. I'm looking for Winfield to make a play late in the game. Maybe a forced fumble. Maybe a blitz. Maybe a pick. I'm looking for Antoine Winfield Jr. to make his presence felt out there. And I see a 3-1 record by the bye week, which would be a fantastic start by the Buccaneers. 2017 visitors.
And Iris, since you brought it up early in the podcast, I'll put your feet on the coals here. Does Mike Evans have a good day against Lattimore? A lousy day, like 3 catches for 30 yards, or a big day? What are we looking at?
No, I think Godwin. I think Godwin outgains Evans on Sunday. I think Godwin's chomping at the bit to be a little more involved, and I think this is the week it's going to happen. Evans will get his 4 or 5 catches, but nothing spectacular. I think keep your eye on Godwin on Sunday. I think he's going to have a big one.
Here's something that's interesting to me. If Canales is able to scheme Evans open, however he does it, and Evans gets, let's say, 80-plus yards, what's that tell you about Leftwich?
It always comes back to Byron Leftwich, Lee. Always. Lee, I wish you a safe voyage to the Crescent City, and I want you back safe and sound on Monday, telling us how the Bucs just went to 3-1.
Thanks, sir.
Ira's still waiting to give you Cosmo in case you want to roam the streets. He'll be quiet in the hotel. Don't worry about it.
And Steve, I'll see you Sunday at Dick Storm Ebor.
Should be a great time, Ira. And I know you'll be inviting the fans out on X, formerly Twitter. And we'll see you there.